Hey there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool, our friends and foes. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast. I am your host, the artist also known as the Bamboozlist, Big Daddy Cool, John Pica. You can call me Johnny. And at the other end of the country from Dallas-Fort Worth, the chairman of the board, boss Larry Amiet.
Hey, everybody. Good to see you. Good to be seen.
And from across town in Antioch, Tennessee, is pretty boy Corey, or as we like to call him, Cindy Brady.
Yep, that's me.
And we'll have a few more people joining us tonight. Dark Soul had to bow out at the last minute. But I believe Eric Fisk is going to be joining us via audio a little bit later. Cool. And we have a good friend from the West Coast that is going to join us tonight, Larry.
Yeah.
Ooh. But I'm going to let it be a surprise.
Oh, it's going to be a surprise. I can't wait.
It's an old friend of ours, but he's never been on the podcast before.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's exciting. So, first of all, how you guys doing? How you holding up, surviving the apocalypse?
I'm doing fine, doing good. Just chilling and enjoying hanging out with you guys.
Now, Larry, you were sharing some good news before we went on the air. You and your wife have been self-quarantined,
right?
But you got a good report.
Yeah, we had a fear. Previously, there was concerns about my daughter. She did get exposed, but she's pulled through. She's fine. And she's back at work. She's one of the essential, people. Oh, I see somebody special. Look at that.
You look at who is joining us. It is Eric Render King Fisk, all the way from the frozen tundra of New Hampshire.
Hey guys.
Hey. How you doing, baby?
Oh, it's I don't even know how to say this. I mean, we're just so happy that we
go.
No.
You're happy that what?
I'm happy that I'm finally here with you guys. I've been looking forward to this all day. So, and I
excellent.
And I have my outfit all set up, and I also have my audio recorder so I could simulcast this on the Fedora Chronicles radio show podcast for you guys.
Cool.
Awesome. And
good. It's good seeing all of my old friends and one of my new friends as well, pretty boy here. So
well, we were just I was asking the guys, and Larry just gave us a great report about his wife. They've been in self quarantine for what, the 2 weeks now, but she got a good report, negative, right, on the COVID-19. So
yep, we got it all clear just this afternoon. Right.
And what about you, Corey? What, how you doing? What's going on in your world, Mr. Mom?
Just yeah, that was Dorothea. That's my youngest girl, or my only girl, but my youngest kid.
She's precious. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. She was a surprise. We were done after the fourth boy, and here came Dorothea. I'm sorry. We call her Dottie.
And she is every bit daddy's girl, isn't she?
No, I don't like her at all. She don't like me. It's pathetic.
And Eric Fisk, how are you holding up in the under the apocalypse?
I'm not. I'm not holding up as well. I mean, we're all going stir crazy here. We're all I don't even know where to begin with what's going on here. I'm an essential employee at a factory that makes medical equipment. So if I have a piece of paper that if I get pulled over, I get to show. I can't actually show you the front of it. But if I get pulled over, I get to show this and say, no, I have to go to work. You can't pull me over. So I feel all important. And but it's as you know, we live in a field. We live in the middle of the field, out in the middle of the woods in southern New Hampshire. And it's it's very sparse, it's very rural, and already we have to, if we have to drive like 15-20 minutes to get anything, like, you know, a McDonald's or go to Home Depot or Target, any of the other stores as it is. So the roads are really barren, very empty. You can drive 5 or 10 minutes and not see another car. Massachusetts has become one of the epicenters of the virus outbreak in the Northeast. It's not nearly as bad as New York City, but it's still pretty bad. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot of numbers. And the rumor mill is just going crazy full time. So we have to go and check the news and see what the news, and oftentimes the news isn't even correct. Mm. Everybody here at home has to stay home, and I'm the only one who is allowed to get out of the house. Wow. And we're learning a lot about each other. Some of it is kind of like,
we're not going to get into politics on this, but that word allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
I got a real problem with that.
It's pretty amazing. Kind of reminds me of in World War II.
Yes.
When during an air raid, we'd have a blackout. And if you did not close off put your blackout curtains up, and remember, that's where the term comes from, right? Blackout curtains. If you didn't close them, you could easily be in the, you'd been fined. I mean, they certainly want to, you know, somebody, the neighborhood watchman's going to yell at you.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's a lot. There's some precedence for that.
Blake Wilson is watching, and he says he's an employee, essential employee as well. He works in the shipping industry with FedEx. So, yeah. So, glad you're here, Blake. You want to join us on camera? Anyone who is watching, who would like to join the Diesel Punk podcast as a co-host or a guest, I've got the ticker running along the bottom of the screen. Join the discussion as an on-screen guest. And there's the URL that you can type in and you can join us. We're going to have another guest joining about halfway through. He gets off at 6 Pacific time and he'll be joining us. But one of the things that we were asked to talk about tonight I am so sorry, I forgot to write down his name, but he had posted on one of our broadcasts that we shared to Diesel Punks and Diesel Punk Depot. By the way, we are simulcasting both on our Diesel Punks podcast Facebook like page and in the groups, Diesel Punks. So people are seeing us in both places. But we had a request. We had a request to talk about something that is a real passion for me and you, Larry, and Eric.
Yeah.
And that is incorporating Diesel Punk style in everyday wear.
Right.
Yes.
And Blake says his network is pretty whacked. He's waiting for my new laptop to come Thursday. Well, congratulations. But
really quickly, John, let me just interject here really quickly. If you've been saving up to get new hardware for yourself, whether it's a computer, desktop, laptop, whatever it is, now's the time to do it, because we had saved my dream desktop computer that I've wanted for ages, but we couldn't afford it. We pulled the trigger on it today because it was half price.
Wow.
So if you're in the market, you have to get a new laptop computer. And this is not a commercial. Do not go over to Computers R Us, a subsidiary of the Fedora Chronicles. It doesn't exist, but now's the time. Now's the time to get new hardware. Go ahead, Johnny. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Anyway, so we had this perfectly okay, Eric. We had this question posed to us. You know, could you talk about incorporating Diesel Punk style into everyday life, everyday wear? And this is a topic that we've covered a lot in the past. But remember, we have brand new listeners and now brand new viewers all the time. So, you know, we've got 300 episodes of our podcast online. And for someone to go back in time and find those discussions, it's pretty, it's pretty difficult. So, so I thought, hey, you know what? This is a great time to revisit that. And before we even talk about that, let's define diesel punk. Now, we, Eric and I, have a little bit different definition than you do, Larry, but I love the way you describe the tenets of diesel punk. And so, Professor, educate us.
Okay. In a soundbite, diesel punk is a mashup or fusion between modern ideas and jazz age sensibilities. That's the that's the most succinct definition I can think of. It involves decadence, which is a word that, again, is a mashup, right? It's a mashup between Art Deco and decadence. You know, it's that feel, it's that fuzzy feel, something that says to you, that reminds me of the 1930s, something like that. It's post-diesel era. Now, that gets back to when is the diesel era. You know, Johnny and I, we have one, you know, Johnny has one way. I have certain cutoffs and so forth. But you have a general feel as to what the jazz age was. And that's your good theme, jazz age. Those are the basic core elements to me. And then this punk. And, you know, Johnny made a comment. I don't know if we were talking beforehand or after we started the podcast about, you know, this high tech right here that we're doing is punk in comparison. So if you combine jazz age with today's high tech, you're now punk. It's counterculture also is another way of looking at it, which is something I really like. So anyway, that's diesel punk, if you want to put it in the short term. Whoa, Corey.
We lost Corey. He'll be back.
Okay. Anyway, back to you, I don't want to take up too much more time on
that. Well, no. I love that. And, you know, part of that counterculturalism that is the punk in diesel punk, you know, it's pushing against the status quo, right?
Right.
It's saying, I reject the status quo. And welcome back, pretty boy. And, you know, for us, rejecting the status quo often involves rejecting contemporary culture, contemporary fashion.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's for us, it's rebellious to go out shopping in a shirt and tie, suspenders and flat cap, Larry. Right. It's rebellious for us to wear World War II era military surplus clothing, pretty boy and Eric, you know, out to a concert. Right. That's our push against common culture. Now, I'm wearing a T-shirt tonight, and I know I've said 100 times, I reject the national uniform of the T-shirt and the flip-flops and cargo shorts, right. And I do. Mm-hmm. I will wear a T-shirt around the house. Sure. And if I go out, I am going to wear a jacket or a waistcoat with the T-shirt. But I will never be caught dead wearing cargo shorts or flip-flops. Now, I wear shorts. I wear you know, tailored cut, really nice chino khaki or, you know, plaid print shorts. But not cargo shorts. Not going to happen. And never, ever, ever flip-flops. Never. And, you know, go ahead, Corey. I thought you were about to say something.
Oh, I was.
Oh, go ahead, Eric.
Because I have two pairs of cargo shorts. But the thing is that one pair of cargo shorts are all of drab they have a very militaristic look to them. And then the other pair of cargo shorts are also, they're khaki, but they also have a very militaristic look, World War II militaristic look to them. I don't think it's just so much the cargo pants. It's the cargo pants and the flip-flops and the t-shirt that's usually like a concert t-shirt or a product placement t-shirt. But I think that is the backwards baseball cap.
Oh.
Also part of the nationalistic, the American list.
I'm guilty of that one.
But I would not be surprised if on the cover of National Enquirer or something like that, you see John Pike in a perp walk actually wearing flip-flops, backward t-shirt. I mean, because the thing is that you're a rebel, John. You're a rebel. And I think that at some point there's a part of you deep down inside that wants to rebel even against your own rules. I think that that's inevitable. But
well, that's probably why I wear a t-shirt at house, around the house, you know. But I did, you know, I always wear either flat cap or a fedora. Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I do own some baseball caps, but I only wear baseball caps when I'm playing baseball. What a novel concept.
Yeah.
Instead of for a cap, I don't know. Let's see if I can angle this. That's right. There we go. Has a very militaristic look to it.
Yeah.
Same thing that a baseball cap does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that Russian hat that I liked wearing. Corey tonight is wearing a Russian hat, and he's got the pin on.
Sure.
Yeah, and I love that, you know. And that's a great way, just with just that hat, of incorporating something familiar to everyone around us, but wearing it with a certain combination of clothing and with that pin. That screams, I do not conform to societal norms.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. I'm trying to slowly work Diesel Punk into my everyday outfits. Right now, my wife's going to be working out, so I'm going to wait till I lose some weight before buying full on anything good.
Well, you know, here's the good thing for men. Is that for the most part, men's fashion really has not changed since the 1920s.
No.
You finish your thought, and I have a caveat to that.
I would say maybe the cuts have changed, the way some, you know, clothes are cut. I hate, and we're starting to see it go away, these super tight, too small suits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The skinny suits,
they
look horrible. They look like they don't fit. And those are going away. But in terms of, you know, shirt style, collar style, lapel style, for the most part, men's fashion has kind of stayed consistent. Women's fashion and style has had the big swing from, you know, flappers and knee-length tea dresses to, you know, yoga pants.
Right.
And I'm not complaining about yoga pants.
Not one bit.
But, so we're going to talk about our next guest who's about to join us. And he is decked out in his Diesel Punk best. I am, of course, talking about the famous Johnny B. Good. Johnny, can you hear us?
Hey, gang, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Yes, we can.
Johnny!
John Wilson is joining us from the left coast in Bakersfield, California.
Give me just one second. I have misplaced my drink.
Uh-oh.
Can't have uh-oh.
This is bad. My heart right there.
That is what are you drinking, Larry?
Jesse James Honey Whiskey. Good stuff.
I'm doing sparkling water from Kroger.
Was.
Okay, I have relocated my drink.
What are you drinking, Johnny?
This is a gin and tonic, of course.
All right, man.
We're in the 20s, so you know.
Well, you know, when we first started this podcast, Larry and I, we used to talk about what we were drinking to open the show. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of fun, but our listeners didn't like it so much, so we stopped doing that. But Eric,
listeners. Oh, I'm sorry.
Eric, pretty boy, what are you guys drinking?
I'm just water tonight. I got to hit the liquor store tomorrow.
Hey, in Tennessee, I don't know about the rest of the country, but in Tennessee, liquor stores were deemed essential.
They are here in Dallas, yeah.
You're in New Hampshire, too?
Yeah, so there you go.
Some places, that's the only grocery store they got is a liquor store.
Yeah.
And I just got off. Oh, go ahead, Johnny.
We got a comment here. With Diesel Punk outfits, which type of jackets do you like more, long coats or tail coats? Ooh, that's a great question. And we'll answer that in a minute. Go ahead, Eric, with what you were to say.
I just finished off a nice glass of Bullet Whiskey Neat, just double shot in a glass, and just to mellow the hell out before I started this. I'm still tightly wound from working all weekend. But no, liquor stores are essential. I think almost every state in the country except for one. And I thought I read somewhere that maybe the liquor stores in Michigan were being closed because they were deemed essential. It's also, I think that's also the same state where they were testing out whether or not they were going to tell people that they couldn't buy like garden seeds, like for vegetable gardens. I think that was one of the states. It's the same state that says that you can't buy garden seeds for your vegetable garden. You can't buy alcohol. So during a lockdown, what are you supposed to do? Lockdown, what else you call it? So,
wow.
A lot of northern states, too, are you can buy liquor in the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Growing up in Chicago, when you go buy a loaf of bread and a fifth of whiskey.
You can buy beer and wine here, but it's but not the hard liquor that you have got to go to a liquor store.
Also, there are a lot of really great specialty liquor stores in Massachusetts because all the liquor stores here in New Hampshire are state run, and they all carry almost exactly the same thing. But if you go across the border, ironically into Massachusetts, because people usually come from Massachusetts to shop here because we have no sales tax. But a lot of us like to go in New Hampshire, like to go to Massachusetts because they have the specialty liquor stores that have like the really exotic whiskeys.
Almost exactly the same thing. But if you go across the border, ironically into Massachusetts, because people usually come from Massachusetts to shop here because we have no sales tax. But a lot of us like to go in
someone's
New Hampshire.
Getting, someone because they have disconnected their headset.
Really exotic whiskeys. It's exactly the same thing. But if you go across the border,
Eric is in some type of infinite loop.
I know.
What is that all about?
Can you cut Eric?
Nope. It's not me.
Yeah, mine were still working pretty good.
Yeah, but Eric, so we kept hearing about the liquor stores again.
It was in a loop. But since he's the new one here, I'm going to blame Johnny B. So, Johnny B, how you doing on the West Coast there, baby?
Johnny.
I don't think his head.
I had my mic
since,
off.
He's the new one here. I'm going to blame Johnny
hold
B.
On.
Do you have headphones
on? I turned
on
my mic off to make sure it wasn't me.
Wait, so, Johnny B, hold on. How you doing on the I'm muting his mic. Johnny, do you have headphones? I can't hear you. If you have headphones, you got to use the headphones. Because we can't have you using the mic on your laptop or your device. But that's why we're getting that echo. I'm muting his mic. Johnny, do you have headphones?
Maybe. Give me two.
I can't hear you. All right, I'm gonna mute you again. there's the culprit. He must be like on a 3-minute delay.
West Coast.
That is so weird. West Coast.
That's a long delay.
Yeah, it is.
Weird.
Yeah. So Johnny, did you want to actually talk about why dress Diesel Punk or why Diesel Punk?
Yeah, we can in a minute, but I want to answer Jake's question here. He asks, which type of jackets do you like more, long coats or tailcoats? My personal preference is a long coat, and I've got them from knee length all the way down to ankle length, and that's my favorite style. Now, I don't always wear a long coat. I have a couple of regular length. They still are long, but they're considered normal length suit coats, and I'll wear them from time to time. But do you guys have a preference, Larry?
Well, for me, long coats, tail coats don't work really good for a short person. So I prefer long coats, but that's just my preference. I tend to wear the average medium leaf coat. Eric?
I only have long coats. I've never actually had the opportunity to wear a tail coat. So I think just by default, I have to say long coat. I also think that tail coats are kind of hard to find here in the Northeast.
Well, not if you're wearing formal wear. Corey, what about you? Do you have a preference?
Not really at this time, since I don't get to dress as much as I'd like to.
Yeah, and you do more of the military style anyway.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm trying to do more of a Indiana Jones Explorers type too, also besides the military.
Yeah, so that's we're going to talk about the different styles of Diesel, Jake. You know, when you're talking about tailcoats, you're really talking about formal fashion. Right. And that's what you would wear, you know, going out to the Brown Derby or, you know, the Savoy Club. Mm-hmm. Or out to the concert, you know, you'd wear it. But in everyday life, men were wearing, you know, lapeled suit coats, suit jackets, not tailcoats. I guess the tailcoat would be kind of more of a steam Victorian era thing. Would you agree with that, Larry?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they were still around. I mean, remember the whole song about top hat. You know, putting them on top hat. You know, but, you know, so it was formal, like you said. It wasn't everyday wear, no.
Yeah. So hope that answers your question, Jake. Now, there's a lot of different ways to do Diesel Punk fashion.
Sure.
And Eric, you asked the question, why Diesel Punk?
Yes.
So what are you getting at there? What do you mean by that question, why Diesel Punk?
Because the thing is that... This is a very controversial topic. A lot of fights have broken out, and people have closed up their group pages because of this argument or this conversation. Why Diesel Punk? Why do people go punk? Why do people go steampunk or deep punk, Diesel Punk, or whatever? And my whole approach to this is that as a society, as a modern society, there is no fashion forward. There is no modern fashion really to speak of. Everything that we see in the fashion world is just regurgitation of different decades. Like if you'll notice, like the style of the 60s and 70s will come back and that'll be all the rage. And the style from the 50s will come back and that'll be all the rage. And everything is reciprocal. But if there is a modern style or modern fashion, it's really more of tracksuits and expensive sneakers. It's really not fashion. It's really not style. And there is this sort of there's no pride in modern fashion. A lot of people will probably argue with me, and they say that they see a lot of pride, but. You don't see people who have a vast tie collection, or people don't even know how to tie a tie. My co-host on News of the Week with Jay Cousineau, Jay will actually talk about when he was in management, people used to show up to interviews wearing Johnny's favorite outfit, the flip-flops, the cargo shorts, and the t-shirt, to a job interview. And I think that there's a longing for the bygone era where men actually took pride in how they dressed. And that since Casual Friday became a thing in the late 90s and early 2000s, we've sort of seen a severe slide in business attire. And I
would say that's not just men. I would say that applies to women too.
Oh.
I mean, how often have you gone out to the grocery store or to a department store and you see a woman wearing, you know, a long t-shirt and her pajama pants?
Right.
Yeah. And flip-flops. I'm like, what is going on?
Or bedroom slippers.
Well, I've seen that too.
That's so very common.
I want to circle back because the famous Johnny B wants to answer the question about long coats versus tailcoats. And you're the perfect person to answer this, Johnny, because in the toy soldiers, the doodah soldiers, you wear a tailcoat, don't you?
Actually, the jacket that I wear when I'm dressed as a toy soldier is a double-breasted. But
I think his lag is so long he hasn't heard the question yet.
No, I heard the question.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Eric?
Yes.
Okay. So
I think you might have to unmute his microphone.
No, he's unmuted. I hear him just
fine. I am fine.
Oh, you too? I don't hear him at all. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
hey, 100%. Eric. I'm right here.
Corey, are you hearing Johnny?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hear him great.
All right, so that's the problem funny. Is on Eric's
Eric's
side.
Just upside down.
Eric, when did you go to Australia? what I was saying, though, was, I love to wear tailcoats. I dress as the Penguin, right? So tailcoat, obviously. Usually, though, I wear a zoot suit jacket, which is kind of a midway, you know, kind of it's long like a long coat, but it's kind of cut more like a traditional coat. So it's kind of a half and half.
All right. So
but I love long coats. Long coats look awesome on men, and we should go back to that. I honestly think so.
That's our job as punks is to keep that spirit alive. Right. So, I'm doing my part. I think Larry's doing his part. You're doing your part. And Eric and Pretty Boy, they can slack off and do the military in Indiana Jones style. That's fine. but to Eric's question, why diesel punk? Why diesel era? And, you know, talking about contemporary fashion and the lack of it. But, you know, for me, it's just... there's something about that era, about those clothes, about that music, that artwork, that architecture, that speaks to me. It's where you ever hear that phrase, I feel like I was born in the wrong decade?
Exactly.
That's how I feel every day. And I wish that, people had embraced the roaring 20s again. And of course we kind of got interrupted by the evil villain COVID, but you know, that's neither here nor there, but that's why I do diesel era. That's why I do diesel punk is because I love
that. I'm showing off my affluence. This is how rich I am. Look at me. I'm rolling in the rolls.
That's $20 right there, buddy.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, we don't want to, but keep in mind, we don't want to romanticize the 20s. You know, it was a vulgar era. Jim Crow laws. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a great disparity in wealth. Not everybody was swimming in wealth in the 1920s. The vast majority of people, especially in the areas that most of us live in, several of us here, the three of us live in, were dirt poor in the 20s. and then was made worse in the 30s with the Great Depression. And then came the war, you know, the World War II. So let's keep a little in perspective here. I wouldn't say we want to go back, but, you know, there was so much good stuff then. The aesthetics, the fashion, just the sense of, again, the aesthetics, the art, the style.
Well, and, you know, and Larry, you know, we talk about those dark elements of the diesel era, but one thing overrides all of that. And because there was a common thing in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and you can't deny, people had hope. There was a hopefulness, even through the Great Depression. I've talked with my dad about it. Yeah. And, you know, he looks back at that time of his life with fondness. You know, he still says that was some of the best times in his life was when they were fighting for survival.
There was a completely different mindset back in those days. You had the, you know, the good times, so-called, in the 20s. In the 30s, people were destitute, but they pulled together. And they saw that
community.
Happy days are here again. And then the war hit, and we're all in this together. And I think we've lost the sense of cohesiveness as a country. And we've all become in our own little camps and piled up our sandbags and shooting at each other and have come. And maybe, I don't know, maybe COVID-19 is doing a good thing by maybe getting us back a little bit to our roots and coming together as a community.
I would agree with that to some degree. And, you know, to Larry's point, you know, there was some darkness. And we don't want, this is a big thing that a lot of people misunderstand about the diesel punk community. We do not want to go back to those times.
And we definitely don't want to romanticize Jim Crow and all the evils that
What we celebrate are the good things, the aesthetics, the style, the music and art. That's what we, you know, aspire to preserve. And would you agree with that, Larry?
I'm here. Say that again.
I was just saying, would you agree with that? You know, we don't want to go back, but we want to preserve the cool stuff.
Well, exactly. That's why we're diesel punks. We're not reenacting.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. That's where punk comes into play.
Exactly. Corey's right.
Look at what Tony Snipes does. He's taking that era and has an African-American owned company, a big company. Back then, it wouldn't have really happened.
Right. That's right.
And that's where the punk comes in. We're not romanticizing Jim Crow laws or anything like that.
Reimagining.
Comes in and says, we're reimagining. We're going to make it better than what it was and make it acceptable.
Right.
Exactly. How it should have been.
Right.
That's why we're called retro futurists. We have the retro, but we have the futurists. We're taking the good of both and mixing them together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point that you make about the Portsmouth Airship Building Company, Corey, because, you know, I'm just going to hold it up. I've only got 4 copies of this left in existence, Larry. I don't know if you knew, but this is now out of print.
That's amazing.
But on the cover, that's me. This is how I normally, you know, this is my diesel punk style.
Right.
This is not a costume. This, I think the first time Larry ever met me in person, I was wearing this outfit. But the girl on the cover was my lead assistant. And you may remember meeting her in Biloxi.
Oh, yeah.
Larry. Yeah, Lynn.
Lynn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's, you know, she was an African-American girl and, you know, played my partner on stage. And in the book, she is, you know, my character's love interest. And in the 19, 30s and 40s. A Chicago power player in organized crime, which is how my character starts, and then becomes an entertainer, he would never have publicly had an African-American girlfriend. It would not have been acceptable. There was a scene that my publisher made me take out where I actually addressed that, where some of the bad guy characters, you know, like criticized me and attacked Big Daddy Cool for that. And, I defended, I fought against their racism and, those attitudes, because I hate that. And, hey, we got a few more people joining us here. Felipe Rodrigo.
Hey.
I don't know what Simoff bit means. Does anyone know? Does that mean hello? I don't know.
I'll take it for Felipe. Hello.
Welcome, Felipe.
Yeah, welcome, buddy. Glad you're with us.
I'm not sure if whether or not Johnny B has, because I can't hear his audio.
That's weird.
Everybody else can hear him, but
yeah,
I
can't. That's very strange.
I think that one of the biggest problems that we have,
we need Garrett as Morris in here. And now
is,
news for Eric Fitt.
Having a conversation with people who seem to think that we are trying to glamorize every single aspect of the jazz era.
Right.
The thing that I love the most about the jazz era is that was the period when people were really starting to push against the negative aspects. If I remember history correctly, the 1920s and 30s, especially after World War I, a lot of people started to push back against some of the negative norms that were prevalent in Western society, Western culture. And the thing is that if you're going to be a good diesel punk, you have to know a lot of history from that era. And you have to sort of confront the fact that there were some negative aspects. And people were talking about, well, the 1930s, you saw the rise of fascism. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But in the 30s and 40s, you also saw a giant pushback and a fight against fascism as well. Yeah. And that's, I think that the greatest stories of heroism come from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, from the era, where it was... right or wrong was not as ambiguous as it is today, I think.
Right.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And, to Larry and Johnny's point about community, we had something that we've lost. Mm-hmm. And that is that sense of community. During the Great Depression, people didn't maybe have money, but they didn't go without, they didn't starve to death. You know why? Because people in the community helped each other out. They made sure everyone was taken care of. And that's something we really have lost. When we don't know our next door neighbors anymore, that's a problem. And that is one thing that, like Johnny said, COVID-19 has kind of forced some of us, like I live in a cul-de-sac. We've gotten to know our neighbors a whole lot better because they're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're sitting out on the porches again and saying hi to each other. And I think that's a good thing. But
I don't think we've had a sense in our country of we're all in this together since the 60s.
Oh, that's interesting.
I would say 9/11 we did. But this is a little bit different. Yeah, this is a little bit different.
But that's interesting thought. I mean, it certainly has been a while. You're right. There's a hashtag, that's all the things right now. Hashtag all together is one of the hashtags going around. And I've connected with people I haven't had contact with in the longest of time through social media. I think Johnny's right. I think this is something that, and you're right, John, and what we're basically saying here is that we may be seeing the country, hopefully, as a largely come together. There's always been rifts and always will be rifts. That's the American way. But yeah, this seems to be a coming together that we haven't seen in a long time.
Well, and just a shout out to Brandy Groven. She says, I'm just here for the penguin. For those of you who don't know, the famous Johnny B also cosplays as the penguin, the Batman 66 penguin.
Uncle Benny on Facebook.
And let's see, we've got another comment from Steve Natal. Nearly 3 a.m. here. Hope you're all okay over the pond. Yes, we are. We're doing very well, Steve. So thank you for your well wishes. So let's continue this discussion about diesel punk fashion. How do you do diesel punk in your fashion? We've talked about a few ways, you know, the hats, the ties, the style, but what are some other ways that you can incorporate diesel punk style into your everyday life? Anyone want to take that?
Well, one of the biggest challenges I have is I'm here in Texas, and when it's August in Texas, and especially Dallas, Texas area, it's 105 degrees, and it's a 20+ percent humidity. So, vest, forget it. But there were short sleeves. There was a sports style especially in the 30s, that was real popular. And short sleeves work really good. I mean, I always have some type of hat, usually a fedora of some type. World fedoras don't work good in the summer, by the way.
Why they invented Panamas.
There you go. Exactly right. Straw. Straw hats. So I wear a lot of short sleeve and straw hats. May not do as many ties, even though I might do, you know, suspenders. There's a kind of a look back at some of the photos, especially in the South during the 30s, and you'll get a pretty good feel of a summer style diesel look. And that's what I do. Eric, Corey.
Whenever somebody asks me, how do I do diesel punk style, or how do I do jazz era style on an everyday basis, I say, very well, thank you very much. The thing is that I have three of my favorite fedoras, and I rotate them. I never wear a baseball cap. I never wear one of those winter beanie hats. I never wear any of those. That one of the things that I had found that has a really great jazz era style are tuxedo shirts. You know, the shirts that you wear with a tuxedo, with the French, with the French collars and cuffs. Ties and vests are another great way. Slacks with the pleated fronts has my man Johnny B's showing the showing his cuffs. Right. Slacks with pleats, and just with dress shoes, and they don't have to be anything fancy,
right?
And that's literally all I own. That's all that I wear. I do not own a single pair of jeans. And it was just not because it's like I'm a snob. It's just because I just don't think I look good in them. And it was just, it's never been a better time to be a diesel punk and get into jazz era fashion with all of the great vendors out there. Right. And especially in this day and age with this crisis going on, reach out to your favorite vendors who are posting on the vintage style groups and see if you can get some bargains, see if they're looking to unload some stuff. Help them out in their time of need. See if they have any sales that you can take advantage of. But that's that. Just simply wearing a dress shirt, a pair of slacks, dress shoes, lace-up shoes, if you want to call them lace-up shoes, matching socks that are similar colors. Know your tone. Don't wear white tube socks with your lace up shoes and your slacks, or you'll look like a schmuck. Like I did.
I don't know. I think Michael Jackson would disagree with you.
No, he had sequined tube socks. So,
well, who doesn't?
But say everything.
I do.
I got four pairs right now.
Michael Jackson. Michael, I think that Michael Jackson was one of the forerunners of diesel punk style.
I would agree with that. And Corey, you have something to add to Eric's comments there? Well, let me prime the pump here. So it's one thing to wear diesel era style. That's being retro, that's maybe reenactment. It's another thing to turn it on its side and to make it punk. And I remember a great episode we had early on, Larry, where Tom Wilson was on, and he talked about wearing his black and white wingtips with his leather pants at a punk rock concert. and that for him was, taking a style and aesthetic and quote unquote punking it beyond reenactment. So for me, when I'm doing Big Daddy Cool, I wear a lot of jewelry and accessories that a man in the era would never have been wearing.
Right.
I wear a lot of bracelets. I wear, rings. And yes, a man would have worn a ring, and even, someone in the entertainment maybe had a gold ring, a diamond signet ring on a pinky, but that was about it. I wear 10 of them. And then I wear jewelry that some might consider effeminate. But and during the era, a man never would have been wearing a pearl necklace, a pearl rosary. But yet, in my persona, I make it work. And my hat, I don't just wear the hat. In my fedora, I've got literally, Larry, each one of my main five fedoras that I wear, I've got $100 worth of feathers in each one.
Wow.
And they're obnoxious feathers. Corey's seen them. Hot pink and purple and, painted. And, that's another way that, we can punk something out. Johnny B, you had something to add to that?
It's really a shame right now that the COVID-19 is going on and all of the Goodwill and Salvation Army and all the thrift stores have all shut down, because those were gold mines for finding retro fashion. And almost everything that I wear is thrift store bought. So,
well, now in Tennessee, Goodwill stores are still open.
They're not here.
At least up here in Gallatin, they are.
And I was going to say, in the steampunk community, the element of punk also often includes, or is almost required to include, some element of sci-fi. That isn't quite so prevalent in diesel punk, although it's fine if it's there. But as long as there's something modern and just a little bit anti-common era thread in it, then that's what sells it.
Well, and Larry, long ago, one of our conversations, you said, that punk element, because I consider it in three different categories. I consider the tenets to be decadence, and then some element of science fiction or fantasy, or alternative history, future technology, magic technology kind of falls in that category for me. And you said years ago that that piece is something that turns history on its side and it makes it not historical reenactment. It makes it alternative history. So that could be, to Eric Fisk's example a couple of years ago that got us thrown off a prominent diesel punk discussion group. A guy wearing the three-piece suit, a fedora, and an iWatch, an Apple Watch.
Yep.
And that piece of future tech makes him diesel punk. It takes him from reenactor to retrofuturism.
Okay. Yep, okay. Exactly. And one of the things that I had said, oh, by the way, I can hear everybody fine now that I've logged out, signed back in.
Well, good. Good.
Yay.
That's one, so weird.
It's blame me. It's my fault. My technology. I'm up here out in the wilderness. What got us into trouble, and what still gets us into trouble, even on our own forum, John, is that there are people who seem to insist that diesel punk has to have an element of retro sci-fi to it. Now, let me ask you something from the perspective of somebody living in 1936. Is this science fiction?
Oh, yes.
Exactly. Very much so.
This is so futuristic from the perspective of somebody in 1936. This is almost magic. It's
someone in 1996, it's magic.
1996, it was magic.
Yeah.
People today still think it's magic. I work at tech support, and they think, wave a magic wand, and it'll be fixed. It doesn't work that way.
But we've had the discussion, and I think that probably one of the most fun we've had in the diesel punk community is having heated discussions about what is and what isn't diesel punk. This outfit that I'm wearing right now, and I'm on a podcast, is a diesel punk act. It's a diesel punk activity. Me wearing this outfit and holding this iPhone, this is diesel punk. Right. And people will say, glue some gears on the back of it. Just gluing gears on something does not make it steampunk or diesel punk. I mean, but here's the thing. You can make the argument that that does make it steampunk or diesel punk. That's up to you. I think that what is and what isn't diesel punk is very subjective. I wrote an article, and if you actually do a Google search, this is diesel punk. It's the top search. And I tried to write this very broad definition of what diesel punk is, and trying to have a big tent approach to it. And there's some people who loathe me for saying that it's like I'm not exclusive enough.
Well, one of the early criticisms we got on the podcast was that diesel punk is too broad, is that the tent is too big, because it does include so many different styles, you know, in the terms of Art Deco, the military, industrial, mass production.
So what?
Well, but we've got Appalachian, Dust Bowl, gangsters, mechs, and there's just a lot in that umbrella. But and a publisher told me that it's too broad, and people can't relate to something that is that broad and has that big of an umbrella. And I don't know that I ever agreed with that.
The diesel era had broads too. Oh. Yes, I went there.
Broads and chicks.
Broads, chicks, skirts.
Well, dims. And so for
Ollie's, me, tomatoes.
And for me, I would say that my diesel punk does include sci-fi, futuristic science fiction, fantasy. That for me is what I look for in diesel punk. That's me. Not everybody wants or needs the science fiction. like Larry, you've talked about one of your favorite diesel punk movies is Kelly's Heroes.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And Kelly's Heroes. Yeah. You say Kelly's Heroes? Yeah, because that was set in World War II, and it was very countercultural. I've talked about some others that Chinatown, I consider to be diesel punk.
Very diesel punk.
Yeah. Kelly's Heroes kind of mixed the 40s with the 60s.
Yeah, it was a political comment as much as it was anything. Exactly. You're right, Johnny.
That guy, the oddball, he was basically a hippie before there were hippies.
Right.
right.
Not to interrupt you, Larry.
Sure, you're fine.
Have to look at the Kelly's Heroes in the context of when it was released in 1970.
Well, that's the modern ideas. That was the modern ideas at that time.
Right.
Was it became a commentary for the Vietnam War that was taking place at the time. But they were kind of anti-heroes in that they weren't out to win the war. They were out to get that Nazi gold hoard and to send it back in a tank to America, be rich. That was their goal, not to win the war. Chicago. I thought maybe, Johnny, you were going to mention Chicago as being one of my favorite movies. You know, I think it's very, very diesel punk, and not just because of the dance sequences, the Bob Fosse dance sequences. I think the storyline is very diesel punk with its anti-hero. It's all about the anti-hero.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I think I'm with you on Chicago, and I think it does incorporate fantasy in that everything, the story is told through Roxy's fantasy life that she conjures in her own head, you know, very much like Sucker Punch. That's all psychological fantasy. And I love that. And, you know, diesel punk for me, my favorite diesel punk movies aren't not only have science fiction and fantasy, but they also have bright colors and music.
Good thing. That's your bag.
Yeah, that's Picassian diesel punk. And if you want to see a good Picassian diesel punk movie, surprise, 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 the movie adaptation of Cats. Oh, it was fantastic. It was phenomenal. I loved it. It was better than Cats.
Hey, it's award-winning. It did win an award.
I know it did.
Razzie, but...
Now, as far as the as going the other way, Richard III...
Oh,
it was amazing diesel punk movie. Yeah, Larry, there you know, you feel me. obviously, Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, that almost goes without saying.
Oh, well, yeah.
Exactly. You know,
the Rocketeer.
You guys are speaking my language now. You know, I was banned from posting and commenting on any Facebook groups that I didn't personally own or admin for 45 days. And on Diesel Punk Depot, which is not a group that I'm an admin of, there was a discussion about diesel punk movies. And it was driving me insane because I couldn't comment. And, you know...
They're throwing out steampunk titles.
They're throwing out steampunk titles. And we've had this discussion over and over about, you know, diesel punk misappropriation. But, you know, the idea that Mad Max is diesel punk and not post-apocalyptic is still out there because, you know, even though Mr. Piecraft was on the show and he agreed with Eric and I that diesel punk is not about fuel anymore. When he first wrote, you know, this is diesel punk. There was this big element of the fuel type because that was the template set by steampunk. But he agreed with us that it's really about the aesthetic and the style now.
It's not diesel punk just because it has cars in it. Stop that.
That is an element because that is true to the timeline, but that's not, you know, what it's based on anymore. So it was driving me crazy.
That's what drew me to the genre, because I used to love steampunk. I still love steampunk, but I couldn't incorporate my classic cars into it.
And I'll give you another example. Go ahead, Corey.
Oh, I'd say then all of a sudden one day I discover dieselpunk, and they're driving the same cars I'm driving.
Yes.
And that to me right there, I was like, that's it. That's the genre I need to be in.
There you go.
I've been in here ever since, in probably 10 plus years.
Another example of a great race. It's got amazing cars, but it's 100% steampunk. It's not dieselpunk. It's too early. The cars are too early.
They're brass era, bing style.
Exactly.
I also want to throw this out. The article that you're talking about, Johnny, that Nick Ottens and Mr. Piecraft wrote was actually called Discovering Dieselpunk.
That's right.
I'm the one who wrote This is Dieselpunk. Larry, now, I know it's April. I know it's April, and it feels weird bringing this up, but Larry made a point about how A Christmas Story is dieselpunk of Ralphie's desire for a firearm. And he was very, he bucked authority. I think that what sort of like really sort of gets us off the topic, and that we sort of rehash the kind of like the same conversation when we talk about what is dieselpunk. I think that one of the things that I've really had a hard time dealing with and bringing this to into words, and even whether it's, you know, in a Word document or on a podcast, there's a really great book that's probably one of the greatest dieselpunk books I've read in a while, but it's not an intentional dieselpunk book. Christopher Hedges wrote this book called America, the Farewell Tour. And he talks about the concept of magical thinking in returning to the mystical past. And that phrase, magical thinking returning to the mystical past, is one of the reasons why dieselpunk and steampunk, but mostly dieselpunk, exists, because the here and now is looking pretty bleak and the future isn't looking much better. So rather than look to the future when everything is supposed to be better, like Star Trek, it looks like it's going to be more of a Mad Max future than a Star Trek future. So many people are turning towards nostalgia to cope with what's going on with the country, that we're returning to a fantastical version of the jazz era. And that's pretty much why dieselpunk has been so prevalent in the past couple of decades.
Well, when defining retrofuturism, I define that, you'll remember this, Larry, I defined retrofuturism as seeing the future of tomorrow through yesterday's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what dieselpunk is all about, is seeing our present or our future through the mystical magic of the past. I love, what was that you said? How did you word that, Eric?
A magical thinking in returning to the mystical past.
Yeah, that's a cool phrase.
It really is. And the thing is that it's one of those books that I read the text version, and then I listened to the Audible version at least 3 times now, and it perfectly explains so much. It explains the phenomenon of nostalgia. Why does nostalgia exist in the first place? Because every single person has thought about being able to go back in time and change an aspect of their lives to make the present better. You would love to be able to go back into a different period and start all over again, and start your life over again with the knowledge and
consciousness. I gotta go back.
Exactly. You know, or Marty McFly and the DeLorean. I think you could also make a case that Back to the Future is a diesel punk movie. At least Back to the Future part, the original and part Back to the Future Part Two is about changing an aspect of the past to make the future better.
Well, I've made that assertion with Back to the Future just from an aesthetic point, but
yeah.
Let me ask you guys this question. So this was on the list of topics that I wanted to talk about, and it kind of dovetails perfectly into what we're talking about. This nice little segue. Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Fear. It dropped on Amazon last week. I don't think it actually ever made it to the theaters because it was supposed to release at the end of February, right when all of this was starting to happen. And so it went straight to Amazon. I have not seen it yet. I wanted to see it this weekend, but got caught up in cleaning out the garage for 2 days. That's a whole nother story. But
it made it to the theater because I have a friend that went to see it.
Oh, really? Well, not here, didn't it?
Oh, it made it here in Dallas area.
Yeah. But there's a lot of things that never make it here. Shape of Water made it to one theater in Nashville, and it was after it won Best Picture.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was tragic. But anyway, that's kind of our lot here. There's a lot of stuff we don't get, but
that's Nashville.
So, yeah, it is. And some other, you know, rural.
And Bakersfield.
Yeah. But so I haven't seen the new Miss Fisher's movie yet, and I love that TV series.
Oh yeah.
It's one of my favorite series of modern years. And Corey and Dark Soul and I had this conversation when that movie was announced about whether or not Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries is diesel punk. And I would maintain that it is because of the kind of in the same way as Kelly's Heroes. It's looks like a period piece, but because of the character of Miss Fisher herself pushing against the status quo of societal norms, it makes it punk. And the new movie looks like there's an element of the supernatural. So that to me would make it even more diesel punk in my personal definition.
Right. I agree. And
it looks like, and the, not that I'm a feminist, but the whole feminist, the whole push towards women's rights and equality, it started in that entire era, but it was no near as big a thing as from, I haven't seen the show, but I, from what I've seen of the trailers and stuff, you know, the character of Miss Fisher is way out there as compared to what women was permissible for women at the time.
That's absolutely correct.
Right. I agree.
It's on that bleeding edge of, you know, of it, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Miss Fisher was the embodiment of the flapper, but she wasn't the dingbat flapper. She was extremely intelligent, creative. But yeah, in fact, she was pushing the envelope. And that really, I think, takes it into the diesel punk realm, the flapper as a detective type of realm.
And she was what they call a Mary Jane. Is it Mary Jane or Mary Sue?
I think it's a Mary Sue. I think that Mary, the idea of that she's an expert in everything, even though she has experience in it. I don't, it's well established that she was a career woman. And she has some education. She's like one of the first women who went to a college or university at the time when that was unheard of. They established very early on that she was already breaking rules and and busting through boundaries before the series began as part of the character's backstory. She's right. always been this person. They wrote her as somebody who was extraordinary because she didn't take no for an answer.
Right.
I think it's look, if you're a diesel punk, it's one of those TV shows that you have to watch. But unfortunately, I don't know if you have a different version of Amazon than I do, Johnny, but it says here that to see Miss Fisher in the Crypt of Tears, you have to subscribe to Acorn TV.
Yeah, I just saw that too.
Yeah, it is a free trial. You get a free trial, so you can watch it for free right now. And eventually, it will come to the regular streaming services. But its initial release, you got to subscribe to Acorn TV. And look, go do it, watch it, and unsubscribe. That's what I do.
Of course. But,
yeah.
If you're a gangster like me, you just pirate it. Not that I'm advocating piracy.
The views and opinions held by the famous Johnny B do not reflect those of the Diesel Punk Podcast, the Fedora Chronicles, or any of its affiliates or sponsors.
That's right.
However, Uncle Pengy would agree with me.
You know, we got a speaking of Diesel Punk on the small screen, we've got Diesel Punk coming on the small screen here just this coming up weekend. Anybody know what it is?
It can't be the Hollywood series on Netflix. That's not until May 1st.
It's the Penny Dreadful City of Angels.
Yes! Oh, I can't wait for this.
Yes, on the 26th.
But it's on HBO, right?
Showtime. Showtime.
Oh, I might be getting Showtime for free right now.
So, you know, I was thinking about doing with Showtime, because through Amazon you can take free trials, mm-hmm. and you can take it for as long as you want. So, you know, when the series runs out and they end their whatever the season's going to be on it, you know, you don't have to keep it.
Now, isn't that set in like the 30s or something? Like
yeah.
That?
Mm-hmm.
Now
yeah.
that would be exactly the same time as what's his name? Not Sam Spade, but the other Dashiell Hammett.
Well, it's set in L.A. during the 30s.
That's right,
Johnny.
Philip Marlowe. Philip Marlowe.
He was right. Yeah, but this.
Time. He might even. Yeah, but this is, they might have thrown him in.
Well, no, this is not a noir style. Mm. This is a supernatural style, and right. it continues the supernatural characterizations from the original series into the 1930s L.A. and a lot of Hispanic. Mm-hmm. Legends and mythology are grounded, are part of this series.
But yeah. if they're bringing in actual 1930s Los Angeles element, I wouldn't be too surprised if Philip Marlowe didn't show up somewhere.
Who knows? He might.
Is that character in the public domain?
Don't know. Good question.
They could buy the rights.
Well, the thing with Penny Dreadful was
true enough.
there were only a couple of characters that were not original.
Right.
All of the exactly. other characters, Frankenstein and his monster, were, you know, and Dorian Gray and Dr. Jekyll were right. from literature. But the rest of the characters were original for that series.
Right.
And maybe they'll do the same thing with City of Angels.
Yeah, it promises to be great. All-star cast. I just can't wait. And so we got something starting on the 26th.
To answer your question, Johnny, Philip Marlowe is public domain. By Chandler's request.
I didn't know that.
Neither did I. Well, that's exciting.
So who knows? Watch the show and let's find out.
So that hits on Sunday.
The 26th. Right? The 26th. So that would be Saturday, right? Today's the 20th.
Saturday is the 25th.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm looking at a calendar right now.
Okay, so Sunday then.
Yeah. Oh, I have something to look forward to. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Thank you for reminding me of that, Larry. That had fallen off my radar because, you know, just everything else going on. So, and they announced that over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we really haven't seen anything more about it until recently. So thank you for that.
If you, I mean, check out the trailers, folks. Once you see the trailers, you're going to be going, oh, yes, this is Diesel Punk.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, hey, it's getting up to about 9:30 here. We've been on here for a little over an hour. And as usual, we could go all night long, especially yeah. Larry and I and Eric. We could talk about this stuff ad nauseum. But some of us actually do have to work tomorrow.
Some of us are essential.
Yes. Yeah. And I know on the East Coast, it is after 10 o'clock, Eric. So, yes. So I want to be respectful of everybody's time. And I think we're in a pretty good place to call it a night, unless there's something really specific you guys want to add or that we didn't cover.
Well, somebody mentioned the new Iron Skies movie, and we could also talk about the Wolfenstein tabletop game.
Yeah, so Wolfenstein has a tabletop game that's on Kickstarter right now. We posted the link to that on our Facebook page. And it's not a new Iron Sky movie. It's a documentary about the making of the Iron Sky series. And that is available right now. Mm-hmm. We'll post that link on the Facebook page and in the group because we could get into all kinds of details about that. But Iron Sky, for those of you who don't know, is almost a Diesel Punk classic. And the second one is even better than the first, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd argue on that one.
Is it like it's so bad it's good, or it's so good it's bad? What is it?
I don't know. It's I just like, didn't like it.
It's like The Room with Hitler.
Oh, okay.
No. Look, it's Iron Sky took the Nazis to the moon, and Iron Sky, the coming race, takes the Nazis into Middle Earth, into the hollow Earth. And they're dinosaurs and reptilian Anunnaki and it's awesome goodness. I loved it.
Yeah.
Now I need to go watch it again. But okay. anyway, any last words, Boss Larry?
I mean, you know, I don't know. Did anybody see the story about the? Is this where we sign off, Johnny? Or are we signing off?
Well, no. If you have something that we need to cover, as we're signing off, is your chance for last bit,
as I say, my whole.
Yeah.
Well, I saw in the news recently about it's in England about a Captain Thomas More. And forgive me if I look down a little bit. I'm reading my notes. He was a World War II veteran. Okay. Or is a World War II veteran.
Is he the one who walked?
He's a 99-year-old gentleman. And he went originally, he had a campaign. He was going to walk 82-foot laps, 10 laps per round, in hopes of competing 100 before he turned 100 years old. And his goal was to raise £1,000 for charity. Well, people found out about it. This gentleman raised £7 million for charity. That's $9 million. He was honored on the last leg of the walk with a honor troop of British military who stood beside him and saluted as he made his last round. So
it was really cool to watch.
It was really cool. It really brought tears to me. And it just made me think about, here is this greatest generation, and he's still fighting for his country. Okay. He's still working for his country. Okay. That's amazing. That's why they're the greatest generation. Without a doubt.
That's what we aspire to preserve.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It gets back to what we were talking about earlier, yeah. Doesn't it, Johnny?
Yeah.
McCoy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So,
you know, we can give back some. These gentlemen, they stormed, you know, the coast of France. American boys stormed Normandy with the hopes of us in mind, right? To keep us free, future generations. I think we can stay home and watch Netflix. Okay? You know, that's the least we can do. Some people like Eric are out there, they're the equivalent of the, you know, working in the factories, making the what the front line needs, the warriors on the front. Okay? They're working. We can keep the home fires burning. Okay? We can watch Netflix and do our part. It's the least we can do for the greatest generation and those that are weak and helpless and need to be exposed to this COVID. So that's one way we can take care of each other, because, you know, that's what life is all about. Johnny?
Awesome. Awesome. Corey?
I'm just honored to be with four heavy hitters in the Diesel Punk community. I mean, this is cool as hell.
That's awesome, man. Awesome.
Yeah, no, I've had a great time this week. I may not have said much, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
That's awesome. Glad you're with us, man. I'm glad you and I have become friends.
Yeah.
Famous Johnny B. Anything
I got my tech working.
Yeah, you did. We're still getting a little bit of noise on your mic. We'll have to work on that if you are a regular. But
I got that stimulus check coming.
Woo-hoo! Good for you, man.
But anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, well, somebody earlier asked about steampunk masks or goggles.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And I'm just going to throw that out real quick. Goggles maybe might not work so much as far as steampunk or diesel punk, unless you're doing like a World War II style riff. Masks, though, especially today, I mean, you know, because, you know, if you think back at the diesel era, especially in the 30s and very grimy time, a lot of smoke. We had the factories churning in the 40s. A lot of smoke, a lot of grease, a lot of stuff in the air, and you have the coal miners and all of that. So masks definitely would be a good fit for a diesel punk type outfit.
Okay. I can dig that.
I knew that you could.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You know a great mask to wear right now is to do a diesel era, like a chrome plated plague doctor mask with Art Deco. Corey, you could make this for me.
I'll work on it this week.
I should show you my penguin mask, but I've got it taken apart right now.
You know what I'm talking about, Corey. I want like the Rocketeer lines, like the
Oh no, it's all in my head right now. Give me a couple of days. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Eric, anything we missed on your end?
Just each other. I've missed you guys doing this on a regular basis. If you could twist my arm and have me do a plug for my podcast, I'll go. All right.
Please do.
To the Fedora Chronicles radio show, wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's SoundCloud, Apple iTunes, Player FM, Overcast, Stitcher, Spotify. If your favorite podcast service doesn't have the Fedora Chronicles radio show, let us know. And what is the Fedora Chronicles radio show? We do pop culture and current events through the perspective of classic film snobs and diesel punks, with topics ranging and including true crime, government conspiracies and cover-ups, and the paranormal. So that's the Fedora Chronicles radio show. We also do a weekly news show called News of the Week with Jason Cousino, starring Jason Cousino. So, and I'm really enjoying doing that. And drop me a line if there's something that you want us to cover on the show. It's your news show too. Let us know and we'll get to it. You can just find me on the Fedora Chronicles on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, you know what you and I need to cover.
I know.
We'll talk about that offline. Larry, yeah. Larry, throw in your plug for your blog.
Oh, okay. I didn't even think about doing that. Thank you, sir. I recently got a new URL thanks to the Facebook being a pain in the butt. So to get back into the good graces of Facebook, I got a URL, dieselpunk.info. And right now I'm doing weekly updates, weekly pods. Normally I do every 2 weeks. Busy schedule. 2 weeks is about the best I could normally do. Johnny, you look like you're about to say something.
I thought I gifted you a URL like 4 years ago.
I tried, but it had, I guess, expired.
Is it dieselpunk? Dieselpunks.info.
It is dieselpunk singular dot info.
Awesome.
You gifted me a Boss Larry, but I tried it the other day and it didn't work. I think it must have expired.
Well, yeah, you gotta renew it every year.
Right. Somebody must have bought it. So anyway, that's my new URL. I write right now I'm doing weekly. Because I got the time. But once I get back to earning a living, I'm going to be doing it bi-weekly again. And thanks, Johnny. I appreciate you plugging for me.
Well, you are the most prolific writer in the diesel punk world. So if people aren't reading your weekly blogs, they're really missing out on. And I'll just go ahead and say it and embarrass you. The work of one of the founding fathers of diesel punk.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
And Johnny B, you're Uncle Pengy, the penguin. What else are you up to?
Yeah, and you could go on Facebook and look for Uncle Pengy. I just actually changed the URL slightly, so if you look for Uncle Pengy, you can find that. I could do a little of the voice now if you want me to.
Sure. Why not?
This is Uncle Pengy here. Make sure you go to Facebook and go to Uncle Pengy and find me and post a like.
That's great.
What else am I doing? I'm actually just, besides working from home, I'm sitting at home. I'm gathering inches around my midsection, unfortunately. And I've been working on getting on my technology working because I want to do some Uncle Pengy podcasts. I want to do some podcasts. Another thing I do is play a very retro diesel punk instrument, the harmonica, and I want to do some music as well. So.
Well, hold on to that thought for just a minute.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to hold on to the harmonica.
Hold on to the harmonica because you're going to play us out in just a minute.
Okay.
But before, I want to put a bug in your ear, Johnny B. I'm going to start a new video series called Singing in the Shower.
Oh, I'm not getting in the shower and putting my camera on. Nobody wants to see that.
No. Just be on the lookout for it. It's going to be this.
Felony in the.
No. First episode is this week, but you're quite the vocalist yourself. And once you see what I do, I'm going to encourage you to jip it and copy it and do the same.
All right.
You'll see. So, before we sign out, I'll pimp some of my stuff. Just check me out at johnpica.com, and you can find links to my live shows, my well, we're not doing live shows right now, Facebook live shows, my other podcast, Tales from the Flip Side, which is ghost stories and local legends, info about my new published work, Tales of the Decoverse, coming soon, and of course, the League of Impossibilists, the cosplay group of original characters that I created based on the stories of the Decoverse, which were born of Tales from the Flip Side, the original story, the original pulp adventure, and see what the League of Impossibilists are up to. Even though we cannot go to conventions and events, we've got cool stuff on the way. And there's a new video about to come out this week that is going to be epic. I can't wait for you guys to see it. But you can find all of that at johnpica.com, bigdaycoolshows.com, theimpossibilists.com. And, of course, make sure you subscribe to the Diesel Punk Podcast and the Fedora Chronicles radio show. You can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and now Spotify. And if you like the show, do us a favor at dieselpunkpodcast.com. There's a little link up at the top right that says donate now. Click on that and donate $2, $5, $10, and that will help us out. Now, before we leave, I need to thank a couple of people because our annual hosting costs came due this month, the worst possible time it could happen. When, you know, I've lost work, even though I'm working full time during the day, I've lost about $20,000 in income because I can't go out and perform. All of my live shows have been canceled. My ghost tours have been canceled. And so the hosting fee came due this month, the worst possible time it could be due. And I just want to thank Melissa Fayed and Larry Amiet and Thorne Wakefield and an anonymous donor named Amethyst Dragon and a few other people who have chosen to remain anonymous for stepping up and contributing to cover our broadcasting, our hosting fees. They've been covered for the next year, and I really, really appreciate everyone who stepped up and made that possible. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
And I think that's it. Eric, you have something last minute you want to say?
Oh, it's like I said, I've missed you guys, and we shouldn't wait so long to do this again. Let's not wait for another pandemic to get the gang back together.
Well, so here's my commitment. Corey and Dark Soul and I have been doing this every 2 weeks, and Larry joined us the last episode, and you guys have an open invitation every time we do this. I'll always let you know. To join us if you can on Monday nights. Okay. So the next one will be 2 weeks, and yep. We'll do this again. And in just a minute, Johnny B is going to play us out. But to do that, Johnny, here's your cue. Thanks, guys and gals, for tuning in. And until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side. Take it away. Now I can't hear him.
I think he's still muted. He muted to practice. I think he's still muted.
Hang on. There you go. Can you hear me now?
Go.
Go for it.
I don't have a beat, so I can't do the
all
beat.
Right. No, that's all right.
I got a drum machine, but it's over. Hey.
Oh, don't apologize.
You did great, Johnny.
Yeah, we will talk to you guys later. Everybody have a great night. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the flip side. And